Father, we thank you for this moment as we reflect on sacrifice. And certainly as Christians, we should understand the sacrifice as well as anyone. We know that you sent your Son to fight a battle in a war that none of us could win. He is our hope without a question mark. But we have had many men and women in our country who have followed in his footsteps and laying down their lives for others. No man hath greater love than he who's willing to lay his life down for his brother. And we're thankful, Lord. Everybody in this building probably knows someone or has someone in their family or knows a family that has lost a loved one to a war. And we just pray, God, that you'll comfort those families who have lost family members. And we pray, God, that you'll help our country recenter itself on you. And we pray that you'll help the church recenter itself on you, not on what we get to do or who we are or our ministries, whatever that means. But may we focus ourselves on you. May you be lifted up in every situation. And may we care more about the things of others than we do our own stuff. And may we glorify your name in every day of our lives. And everybody said, let me read to you from Psalm 47. You might not be able to do this or that or the other, and we all have gifts and talents, and we can't do everything everybody else can do, but we can all praise the Lord. Every one of us can praise him. It says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is great King over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. Our God's in charge. Amen. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over all the nations. God sits in his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Can you say it with me? Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Give him praise again. He's worthy. If you're lost or found, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus or you've not, it's because of the faithfulness of God that you're still here, either way. If Satan had his way, he would take everybody out before they were redeemed. So it's really the mercies of God that any of us are standing here today. And like Andrew sang to start off, if we're alive, he's still got plans for us, right? He's got a plan for your life today. Amen. And if you're lost and you've not surrendered to Christ, anybody that's listening to me out around the world or in this building this morning, God loves you so much. And he's preserved you in his desire that you would surrender your life to him. Every Christian that's in this building, that's listening to my voice, can testify to the long suffering of God. He is so long suffering. He's faithful, and he loves us so much that he hung his own son on a tree so you and I could be forgiven and walk in a new life that have eternity waiting on us. Father, we're so thankful that you've not left us to ourselves. And we're thankful, Lord, that you don't give up on us. You said that whatever you started, you'd finish. And we receive that this morning, God. We pray for those that are out hearing our voice this morning, God, that anybody in this building or out in our land that doesn't know you, may they consider making today the day they die to themselves and live in you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, tell your neighbor you're glad they're here. Go ahead and tell them. Say it like you mean it. Children's Church is dismissed. Children's Church is next door. If you want to go to Children's Church, we have a nursery as well. So, amen. Well, the table's set, so I'm going to serve the meal. It's a good job, worship team. I'm going to preach on something that we all know everything about. So I really shouldn't waste your time, should I? I'm going to preach on forgiveness. You got time to leave. How many of you think you know what forgiveness is? I do. I got some idea. I learned some stuff. And these Hebrew words mean to lift away, lift up from, to send away. The Greek word, the primary word I want to use, means to send away. So forgiveness is when something is taken, an offense is taken off of someone and sent away. Lifted up off them and sent away. Now God offers us that. But he also makes it very clear that we're to offer that to each other. So, forgiveness means to lift away, to lift up, to send away. And I'll guarantee you, somebody knew what they were doing when they named this organization. This Hebrew word is NASA or NASA. What do they do with NASA? They lift up, right? They send away. Somebody probably when that or knew this, understood this, because that's what our space program does, right? It lifts away, it lifts up. And it's amazing how we read things in the scripture that the Lord says he cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. And we know the east and west never meet, right? They just keep going into infinity. And so the universe is probably somewhat like that as well. So you understand now maybe why NASA or NASA is called NASA. Because they intend to send us a signal. That's why I tell you like with Nike, that's the word victory or to gain the victory, Nikeo. That's why that company uses it. They're trying to send you a message that if you wear their shoe, you will gain the victory. So it means to send away. Now when we talk about sending away in the Hebrew and the Greek, we understand from the Old Testament the scapegoat. So the priest would lay his hands and confess the sins and send the goat away from the camp out into the wilderness. So basically, to forgive somebody is to take something and send it away, to lift it off of them and send it away. That's what God offers us in forgiveness. He offers to take our sin off of us. All right, and send it away. He took our sin, placed it on his son, and sent it away. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two offerings that represented sin. One is the trespass offering, and the other is actually called the sin offering. The trespass offering was used to identify the actual actions that someone had done. They knew when they had done wrong, and so they brought a sacrifice, and sometimes it required restoration. If you read through Leviticus and some of those things and all the laws and things they had, if somebody's killed another one's ox and all that. So there was restoration. Sometimes it was monetary restoration. But a trespass offering was something that an individual recognized and they came and sought forgiveness for it. All right? The sin offering was to be brought because of the condition of the human heart. The sin offering was brought for our sinful condition. And you've heard me say this before. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Let me say that again. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. In other words, all of us are born lost. All of us are born into sin. David makes that very plain. And so we have a condition. It's called the heart of man, right? We have this condition where we are born into sin and we need to seek forgiveness or redemption, all right? We find that forgiveness and redemption only in one place in the entire world, and that is through Jesus Christ. So we got to understand there are deeds that we do that require our repentance, right? And anybody that's been saved for a couple of days, you know that's true, right? Even after we're saved, we do things that require us to repent. And that's why Israel had a constant opportunity to come to the temple because there were offerings that had to be brought. But the sin offering was brought because of the condition of the heart of men and women. In other words, we sin because we're sinners. All right? And so what Jesus offers us is redemption from that, forgiveness that we're talking about. And then He takes our sin from us, and now He is available to us at any point for us to find forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the hardest things for people to do sometimes is to receive that forgiveness. Because, and you all probably ran into people like this as well, and maybe I've ran into more of them because of my position, but I've ran into people for over 40 years of people saying, I just can't believe God could forgive me. I can't believe all the things I've done, right? And you just go on, and people live in that kind of bondage because they cannot receive someone's forgiveness. Forgiveness is amazing. Really, it really is hard to believe when you think about it. I mean, if we didn't understand the heart of God and have the Holy Spirit in the Scripture to teach us really the heart of God, then we couldn't really fathom how beautiful it is for Him to sacrifice His Son and to forgive us. And I'm preaching on forgiveness this morning because I had several confirmations this week from different people and situations that came up about forgiveness. But this all started Monday night. Monday night, my wife and I, we watch, this tells how old we are, but we watch KET probably more than anything else. And we like to watch things. I really have gotten to the point in my life that I don't really like to watch things that aren't true. I really like to watch things that are true, something I can learn from. That's just me. I've become a nerd, I understand. But we've been watching this little series on there about World War II, and it's about FDR and about how Princess of Norway came over here and basically lobbied to get us involved in the war. And there was a lot of things that went on, and we were watching the end of that, the very end of the series Monday night, and the princess and the prince had grown apart, and it looked like they were going to be, their family was going to be torn apart and destroyed. And at the end of the movie, he comes and meets her and greets her. And you can tell through the last few scenes that they're restored and everything's fine. I looked at my wife. I figured she was crying. I couldn't see. It was a little dark. But I said, you love this kind of stuff, don't you? And she said, don't you? And I said, what I love is forgiveness. And I started crying because I said, it's the greatest thing in the universe, barring anything. forgiveness. And when the Holy Spirit started ministering to me, and I started weeping, sitting in my Archie Bunker chair. You're not supposed to do that, right? And the Lord took me on a trip this week with forgiveness. And it just overwhelmed me at that moment, even though I probably knew it in my knower, right? Forgiveness is the greatest thing in the world. There's nothing better than being able to be forgiven. Because if we could be repent all day long, if God wasn't willing to forgive, it would all be in vain, right? And forgiveness is what transfers us from darkness into light. It's what brings us from the devil's kingdom into God's kingdom. It's what brings us into the family of God. It's what brings us into eternal life. Forgiveness is the greatest thing in the world. Somebody give the Lord praise. Amen. And so I say all the time, I believe God's a healer. I believe He can do anything. We've seen Him heal and restore. But I'm telling you something. You can get to heaven with all kinds of ailments. You can get to heaven with all kinds of different skin colors. You can get to heaven no matter what side of the tracks you grew up on. You can get to heaven whether you have hair or don't have hair. You can get to heaven no matter what age you are. But you cannot get in unless you're forgiven. That's the only requirement, right? God, you know, it doesn't matter what side of the tracks you grew up on. It doesn't matter how versed you are in the Bible or anything like that. You just need to be forgiven. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And we're all sinners. We all had to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. No exceptions. We all had to repent and ask Him to come into our lives, invade our lives, and say, we want to follow You. We want to honor You the rest of our lives. All of us that are born again, what we call being saved or redeemed, those who've been forgiven, we've all had to do that. Everybody has to do that. And so that's the good news, though, that it's not God's will that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. Forgiveness is the greatest thing in the entire universe. And we should be so grateful and so thankful that we have it. Let's go to Psalm 49. In Psalm 49, I want to read to you some things about forgiveness and about redemption. And then I'm going to share some things with you about our responsibility to forgive. In Psalm 49, the psalmist says, hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. So he's talking to all of us. Both low and high, both rich and poor together. So he's not excluding anyone. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark saying on the harp. Why should I fear the days of evil? When the iniquity at my heels surrounds me. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. You can't do it with that. You can't. Paul said in the New Testament, and Peter, I think, chimed in as well, that we're not redeemed with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we've been redeemed. That's how we've been forgiven. You can't redeem any situation eternally with money or wealth or your own power, your own strength. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus Christ that He did on the cross. And he says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. None of us can do that. If I could pay to ensure that somebody would be in heaven, I'd live on the street to make sure I got that done. Because there's people that I love and know that are not on their way to heaven right now. And if I had to live on the street and live in a tree to spend every dime I had to get people in heaven, I would do that. It's that important to me, and I'm having a revival, and I want it to be important to all of us. The souls of men and women. We've got to reach the lost.
We're running out of time. And the only way they can come into the body is to be forgiven. They can walk in the church in and out all day long. But to be a part of the body is that they've got to be forgiven. We've got to share the message of the gospel. And the word gospel is eglesio, and it means euglio, I think. I'll say it right in a minute. Your way, my way, right way, and the wrong way. It means good news, not only good news with a reward. Right? That's what God offers us. And what greater reward can people have than the forgiveness and eternal life? Can you say amen? He says the redemption of their souls is costly. It is costly. In verse 8, God sent His only Son, and it shall cease forever, that He should continue to live eternally. That's what redemption can do for men and women, is bring us into eternal redemption and not see the pit. It's not God's will that any would perish. God reaches out His salvation, and He wants people to repent and be forgiven. And don't be embarrassed about repenting. I have to do it all the time. I'm a regular. You know, one of the things that David and Peter stressed to us, two of the most fantastic men in the Bible, both of them failed miserably. In fact, I would argue that Peter failed worse than David. Because Peter denied that he even knew who Jesus was and watched Him walk on the water, raise the dead, open blinded eyes, and acted like he didn't even know Him and cussed about it. Just thought I'd throw that in. So I think that's horrendous. That is horrendous. But you know what Jesus did? Back on the day of Pentecost, He lifted that off of him and He sent it away like a scapegoat. And He said, Peter, you're my man. Get up there and preach the gospel to the whole world. That's what He told him. Isn't forgiveness great? It is fantastic. And David, the Bible says, God said he was a man after His own heart. Whatever David did, God lifted that off of him and said, you're a man after my heart. You love my ways. You've come to me when you failed. You've come to me for direction. You've come to me for victory. Everything you've needed, you've always looked to me. You're my man. You're the king. You're going to stay on the throne because I am going to lift that off of you and send it away. You're my king. That's what forgiveness does. It changes the whole situation. We're all sinners. We all have to bring the sin offering. We're born into sin. It's what theologians call the Adamic nature, right? We're all born into sin. We have this fallen nature thanks to Adam and Eve. But here's what I say. None of us have any stones to throw at Adam and Eve because we've seen enough out of our own life to know if we'd been in the garden, we'd have blown it too. Can you say amen? Have any stones to throw at Adam and Eve? What I do recognize is that God has made a way. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, that Jesus was slain before in the foundation of the world. Theologians believe that's the eternal covenant, that's the first covenant that was ever made long before any covenant that we read about in the Scripture, that Jesus and His Father entered into this agreement, that Jesus would be the propitiation, as Paul calls it in the New Testament, that He would be the sacrifice, that He would redeem man from fallen nature and offer him salvation and a renewal to the Father. God wouldn't caught off guard when Adam fell in the garden. God wouldn't scratching his head saying, what are we going to do next? He had already talked to His Son, and before the world was created, said, you're going to be the sacrifice. You're going to go down there so that I can forgive them and bring them back to my bosom and back into my presence that they can live with me. All those who choose to. You know, the Bible says about the angels, said the angels that remained chose not to leave their first estate. So evidently there was a point when Satan fell or was cast out that the angels had an opportunity to make a decision there. And a third of them decided to follow Satan, we read about in the Scripture. God is not going to have anybody in heaven that don't desire to be there. So it's a choice. But you know what forgiveness can do? Do you know, have you ever been forgiven by somebody? What a weight that pulls off of you. That's way greater when Jesus does it off of us for eternity. But forgiveness works great for both parties. Do you understand that? When somebody asks for your forgiveness and you give it to them, there's a release that happens to both sides. Forgiveness is the greatest thing on earth. Let me take you to Psalm 86, just a few chapters over. And Psalm 86, verse 1. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. And abundant in mercy in all those things, in all those who will call upon you. God's willing to forgive. You know, you may feel like somebody won't forgive you, and that may be true. There are people that will go to their grave with unforgiveness. And I know people who still have unforgiveness for somebody who's dead. Controls their whole life. The person is dead, gone, in the grave, out of here, and they're still controlled by a dead person because they can't forgive them. One of the greatest things, do you know why Sister Mary has been able to raise about 150 children? And why that, with the rare exception, I may not know one that I can think of all the children of hers that I know, all of them are doing well, successful, and loving Jesus. You know why she's successful? Because the first thing she does when they come into her care is teach them about forgiveness. And a lot of them have been horribly abused, and the world has lost sight of this a little bit because I won't get into all that or I'll lose my time here. But she's even taken them to the places where they were abused and had them to forgive and wipe. And two of her children testified in a service that I was in that about would break you to the ground. But they said, we would not be the people we are today if we hadn't got all that bitterness and all that ugliness out of us. She took us places. And some of them were horribly abused. I'm talking about horribly abused. And she took them something. Now they're nurses. One of them scored a 36 on his ACT, was in the Navy and was a hero, and they couldn't even tell her what he had done or where he'd been, but he was a decorated man. Some of them own their own businesses. They're in ministry. It's amazing. But she starts their journey with her with forgiveness. You want me to tell you why that's a good thing? Because that's where all of our journeys start. You thought you were living, but you wasn't living till you got forgiven. That's when you started living. Can you say amen? All of our journeys start with forgiveness. And so we've got to forgive. One of the greatest stories I know was the pastor that I know in New York. He had a lady in his church. Some of you heard me tell this before. And her husband was lost. She was a believer. She was praying for her husband to be saved. And he was around her. That's what we used to say when I was growing up. He was around her. And so she prayed for him and prayed for him. And she didn't want to leave him, but she had biblical reasons that she could have left him, but she wanted to see him saved. Kudos to her. The highest road, now listen to me. You may have reason to do anything. You may find chapter and verse in the Bible. But the highest road will always be forgiveness. That'll always be the highest road. God had every reason to turn his back on us. He had every reason not to love us and save us. But the highest road was for him to hang his own son on a tree and forgive us. Freely you receive, freely you give. And so she's home, and he comes in from work, and he does what he always does, jump in the shower, and he's going out on town. He's going to be around her. And so he hears his wife down the hall when he gets out of the shower, and he goes down there, and she is ironing his shirt. And he said, what are you doing? She said, I'm ironing your shirt. He said, it caught him off guard because he knew how he lived, right? And she said to him, now listen to the authority she used. She didn't belittle him or badger him. She used the authority of God on him. She said, you're my husband. See, that's authority right there. She stepped into the word when she done that. She said, because two become one, right? She said, you're my husband, and if you're going out on the town, I want you to look nice because you're a reflection of me. Now, how many women could do that, knowing what he was getting ready to do? I didn't get any amens. He left the house. He drove around, I believe it's Buffalo, New York. He drove around Buffalo, New York for 30 minutes. Come back home with his head in his hands weeping and gave his life to Jesus Christ. That's the power of forgiveness. Now, she didn't have to go the extra mile. But I know she knew that Jesus had went the extra mile for her. And freely she received. Forgiveness is the most powerful force on earth. One of the missionaries I got acquainted with years ago told a story about another family who had sent their son to where they were all doing mission work. He got put in prison and he was killed. He was 18 years old. The family came to get the body in this foreign country and led the guy who was the guard who killed their son, led him to Christ. That's the power of forgiveness. There's a story told about a young man and his father and another friend who were in the ocean. Their boat capsized. And the son said to the father, this is basically what he was saying. He said, rescue my friend first. He's lost. I'm forgiven. And if you got time, come back to me, Dad. He was forgiven. Well, the dad didn't have time. He rescued the son's friend, and his own son drowned that day in the ocean. And the father was telling this story in front of the church. And he said, I want to introduce to you today my friend's son. He's your pastor. The power of forgiveness is the greatest force in the universe. And God's a stickler about it, as we're going to see right now in just a second. God is definitely a stickler about it. Let's go to Luke 17. Luke 17. Verse 3. In Luke 17 and verse 3, he says, take heed to yourselves if your brother sins against you. Rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus giving a lot of good instruction. They've asked him how they should pray. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, and I prayed this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Right? They're asking for forgiveness. As we forgive others. So there's a condition, right? We're asking for forgiveness based on the fact that we're forgiving. That's how Jesus... Now, wait a minute. This wasn't their idea. This was Jesus' instructing them. He said, here's how you pray. You ask the Father to forgive you as you forgive others. Now, forgiveness is a big deal in the kingdom. The whole kingdom's built on it, right? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, there's an if in there, right? Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's some of the strongest verses in the Bible right there. I mean, that it's like there's no tolerance in the body of Christ for unforgiveness. None. It's illegal. Or unlegal, however you want to say it. It's illegal to hold unforgiveness if you're a Christian. It's against the law of God. And he says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And he could have left it there, and we could have maybe weaseled out of it a little bit. Yeah, but you know, if they really aren't sincere, He says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's a lifting off. It's such a release to be forgiven. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Let's pick up with verse 21. In Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, if you understand that, if you've been around me at all and you understand prophecy, that's 490, right? If you go back to the book of Daniel in chapter 11, you find the prophetic utterance by God that he's determined 70 sevens upon Israel and upon the whole world, because the end of that last 70-year period, which makes 490, right, that last 7-year period, he said, I've determined 70 sevens, right? And the last 7-year period, he said, puts an end to sin, seals up, brings in everlasting righteousness. So that's the end of the end. That's the end of sin. So basically what Jesus was telling Peter here, he's saying, you got to forgive until this thing's over. Because the likelihood of somebody being offended 490 times in one day is slim to none. So Jesus was speaking prophetically as well as practically. You got to forgive. It's not an option to forgive. My wife and I have been married for 31 years, and we made a covenant with each other when we got married that we used some scripture to do that. And that was that we would not let the sun go down on our wrath. In other words, we wouldn't go to bed angry. There's been a few times when I've had to go get her out of bed. And she's had to get me out of bed, right? It works both ways. But we made a covenant with each other that we would resolve our issues before we went to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, the Bible says. So if we were upset with each other or had some forgiveness we needed to give one another, we made sure we'd done it before the sun went down. And it's worked for us because it's biblical. But it should also be the same as you can do with others. And then he says, 70 times seven, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he should be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and the payment be made. And the servant went and fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Forgave him the debt. What a beautiful thing. But the servant went out and found one of the fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So this fellow fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison that he should pay the debt. And you know the rest of the story, gets the guy in trouble. So basically this is a beautiful picture of how you've been forgiven for your sin and sins as you sin, right? As we sin now, we go get forgiveness for them. So basically God's saying, how dare you not forgive somebody else? That's what he's saying. How dare us not to forgive someone else? It's illegal. And it will get us in a world of trouble with God. That's the one thing. The two things that I see that God is really touchy about is blaspheming the Holy Spirit and not forgiving. Those are two of the issues that he is really right in our face with them, saying, if you don't forgive, you're not going to get forgiven. I mean, he's right in our face with that stuff. And the Holy Spirit is only here to help. He don't even want to be spoke of. Some churches, that's all they preach on is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit don't even want to be spoke of. He wants to glorify Jesus. That's why God's so sin. The Holy Spirit is such a wonderful part of the Godhead that he seeks no credit, he seeks no glory. He wants all of it to go to the Father and to the Son. He's here to glorify the Son, Jesus. That's why God's so sensitive. But unforgiveness is it's illegal. You're not allowed to have unforgiveness. Somebody said, well, what I do? You better find a way to forgive. If it means bake them a cake or whatever, I don't know. Is anybody mad at me? I'll take a cake. You got to find a way to forgive. You have to find a way to forgive. Now, here's something I want to share with you. A couple of Jewish fellas I learned from. One of them was, if it ain't in there, it can't come out, right? So find a way to get it out of there. But here's the definition of forgiveness that helped me a lot. It's when the memory of the event comes back, but the feelings do not. In other words, you may not be able to forget something because it's just a big event, right? But, you know, I had somebody I was struggling with to forgive years ago, and every time I'd think about it, I'd want to pull my steering wheel out of my column, right? It's just like, you seen that Goofy commercial? I watched that Goofy cartoon a lot because I used to get a lot of speeding tickets, so I had to watch him a lot. They got Goofy in his cars. They puts it in S, and he sneaks up on everybody. And the steering wheel pops out, and the spring. That's how I felt. I just, every time I'd think about it, I'd just like, just try to feel like pulling my steering wheel out. I knew I'd forgiven them when the memory came back one day, and I didn't feel like pulling the steering wheel out anymore. One of the best ways to forgive somebody is begin to pray for them as well. I had a boss in the mines that treated me horrendous, made fun of me because of my Christianity, did everything he could to provoke me. And I was so angry one day when I went home from the mines that it wasn't good. And I went to the creek bank to pray. And when I started praying, the Holy Spirit let me feel what this boss felt. He was the superintendent. He let me feel what he felt inside, how miserable he was inside. Everything was a front. And he let me just for a few seconds feel the misery of this guy who was lost and was trying to front it with all his anger and all his bolstering and all that stuff. And it broke me. And what it did, it enabled me to start praying for him. And as I began to pray for him, instead of going home angry at him every day, I began to pray for him. His attitude toward me changed. Now, he didn't become saved at the time I was around him, but I pray that God, the seeds that were planted, that he got saved eventually. But that's what changed me. See, somebody said unforgiveness is like you taking the poison hoping somebody else will get sick. Because unforgiveness does such damage inside of us, even though somebody may have done us wrong. He made me look bad. I was the boss in the mines in another part of the mines, but this guy was always trying to bully me and make me look bad because I was younger and I was a Christian. Just a lot of stuff went on. And, you know, the flesh wanted to just, you know, throw him off that mountain one day, you know. But the Spirit finally got a hold of me, right, and enabled me to intercede for him. If you can have compassion on somebody and start interceding for them, it will help you forgive them. And they need it. We all need forgiveness, right? You know what a pastor told me about 30-some years ago before I started pastoring? He said, give out plenty of grace, pastor, because you're going to need it yourself someday. You reap what you sow, right? And so, you know the rest of that story. Let me give you, take you to Daniel 9. I'm going to close here. In Daniel 9, we have one of the greatest men that ever walked the earth. You know, I would say Job, Daniel, and Joseph are three of the greatest guys that walked the earth. Maybe with an Enoch, obviously. We don't have a whole lot said about him. Those three guys, Job, Daniel, and Joseph, if you look at their lives, it's hard to see where they needed much forgiveness, right? I mean, they really, but they did because the Bible says we're all made the same, and the Bible says Job eschewed evil. That meant he turned his back on it at some point in his life. So all these are men, and you're going to see that with Daniel here. In Daniel chapter 9, when he starts to pray in verse 3, listen what he says when he prays. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make a request in prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned. Now he put himself in there. He's one of the greatest prophets, one of the greatest people that's ever walked on this planet. But he put himself in there. See that? We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and princes, to our fathers. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, in verse 7, but to us, shame of face as it is this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all Israel, those near and those far off, the countries which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Everybody's got to have forgiveness to get into the kingdom, to have eternal life. And then we're all going to need forgiveness from time to time as we journey. And sometimes I want to get, and sometimes I've been this way, not always, I want to get to be just as simple-minded that God can speak a word and I'll step into it. One of the times I had somebody do me really bad, it cost me a lot of money. And I realized that if I went after that any further than I already had, that it would cause division, that would be trouble to a lot of people other than just me. And so I decided that I wouldn't do that. But I still was mad and angry. And so I was sitting down at dinner with somebody and I was sharing my trouble with an elder. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, because I was saying things to myself and out loud, why would they do that? Why would they? And I was trying to come up with all these things that would be like reasons, right? Because that we try to help ourselves with reasoning, right? Well, they did that because they're, you know, the Lord spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that scripture, love thinks no evil. In other words, the Holy Spirit was saying, let it go. Let it go. I'm going to give you three examples and I'm going to tell you something in the New Testament. The three greatest examples I see in the scripture of forgiveness are Joseph, Stephen, and Jesus. Joseph forgave, and because he was willing to forgive, he freed up all of his brothers. They hadn't even asked for forgiveness. He just gave it to them. Do you know that forgiveness is right here before you ever turn from your sin? It's right here, right now. You don't have to go out and do a bunch of good things and say, okay, now God forgive me. That's not how it works. It's here right now while we're in our mess. It's here right now. Joseph came out, forgave his brother. Stephen asked God not to lay that sin to those people who were stoning to death to their charge. He asked him not to lay it. In the Old Testament, Moses said, Lord, if you're going to kill Israel, kill me too. In other words, he said, I'm standing the gap for them. When you get to the New Testament, Jesus said, kill me instead of them. I'll take their place. The greatest acts of forgiveness we find in the Bible. Forgiveness is all, I'm going to share this with you and then I'm going to close. Forgiveness is all wrapped in a package of agape. Love. Forgiveness is packaged in agape or love. I want you to hear this. If you've never heard it like this, I want you to hear it this morning. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. So if something's failing, what's not operating properly? Love. Did love conquer that dude in New York and whip him and bring him home repentant to find forgiveness? Love conquered him. Not a strong arm, not a bunch of griping, not a bunch of finger pointing. Don't let it surprise you that sinners live like sinners. That's how they live, right? Sinners live like sinners. And so God made a way for you and I as sinners, and whosoever will that's a sinner, to be forgiven, to have our slate wiped clean, wow, expunged as far as the east is from the west. There wasn't enough money to do it. There wasn't enough bulls and goats to do it. He sent his only son to do it. He forgave us. That's why he is intolerant of us not forgiving as well. The whole kingdom was built on forgiveness. Love and forgiveness. God was willing to forgive because he's so full of love. And he gave us his only son. The whole kingdom's built on those concepts. And that's why love never fails. If it's given the room to operate, it will never fail. You guys can come to the instruments. Love never fails. And we're going to do something just a little bit different. As they come to the worship, I want to ask everybody that will to come as close to the front as you can. And I want you to just let the Holy Spirit introspect you. And I want you to let Him, you can just stand here with me because I'm going to do it too. I want you to let the Holy Spirit introspect you, in other words, check you out, and see if you have any unforgiveness in your heart. And let it go. There might be somebody here that has unforgiveness toward a sibling, toward a co-worker. There might be somebody here that has unforgiveness toward Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Uh-oh. I might have got everybody with that one. Anything. You know, we don't want any of that in us. We want to love and forgive. So let's stand to our feet. And as we come before the Lord, if you want to slip on up here with me, you don't even have to say a word. You can just be transparent with the Holy Spirit right now. And ask Him to help you lay down anything in your life that you've not forgiven somebody for. I want to set the stage for us to have the best communion we've ever had this morning, where there's no ill will. You remember what He said about Nathanael? He said, Nathanael over there, an Israelite in whom there's no guile, is how the King James says it. The word means in whom there's nothing false. We want all of that out of us. And Father, as we come to this moment to worship You this morning, I pray as we all join to pray, and as we have this moment of worship, we just pray, God, that You would introspect us. That if we have unforgiveness towards somebody in our own families, somebody on our workplace, somebody in our community, somebody in church, somebody in government, we know that is a major hindrance in our lives. We want to lay all that down this morning, God. And we want to have one of the sweetest communions we've ever had. One of the most freeing, debt-free moments in our lives. That we've forgiven those who've trespassed against us. That we've loved them in spite of the wrong. That we've forgiven those who have different views and different opinions. That we love them in spite of our different views. That we reach out to them with the love of Christ and offer forgiveness. If
If you're here this morning and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, we want you to make your way on into here, and I want to pray with you. You can pray by yourself. As we worship, you just keep doing your business with God as we worship.